Thank you, choir, for leading us and reminding us of God's goodness and His power made evident and known in all things that we see around us. And particularly as we read in God's Word, we are reminded of the goodness that God has shown to us and His grace He has displayed. We're going to be reading from 1 Timothy chapter 6. I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And we're going to be reading verses 6 through verse 10 of 1 Timothy chapter 6. That's found on page 1154 in our Pew Bibles. And the title of our sermon for this morning is Contentment That Leads to Thanksgiving. So we see the connection between a contentment and thanksgiving as we look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, we're going to be reading verses 6 through verse 10. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we could take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and to many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. This is particularly what we find in verse 6. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And may the Lord add His blessing and increase upon the preaching of His word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we heard earlier, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let our hearts rejoice and let us be glad in it. In fact, many times on the worship day, on the Lord's day, you'll hear that call to be thankful, to come into the Lord's presence and to give thanks. But what are we to be glad about? What things should move us, should motivate us to be filled with thanksgiving? Well, today as a nation, we celebrate Thanksgiving, but particularly as a congregation, as the people of the Lord, we need to be mindful of that call that we receive in Scripture to be thankful. It is a telling that we need a day set aside as a nation to be reminded to be thankful. In fact, what we as people tend to do is to overlook God's blessings, and even in our prayers, we tend to focus on what we need while downplaying or giving a short service to what we have received and being thankful for them. In fact, many psalms that we read earlier from Psalm 100 and Psalm 103, calling us as a church, the congregation of the Christ, it was not only necessary in the Old Testament, but today, how much more we who have received the full revelation through Jesus Christ do not have so many opportunities and reasons to be thankful. In this past year, we have had opportunities to rejoice. We've seen both baptism and profession of faith. Currently around us, the economy seems to be stable. Many members here in our congregation enjoy good health, and God has heard and answered our prayers. But although that is true for many of us, not everyone here has had a great year. Some remain sick and suffering to this day. Some have lost loved ones throughout this past year. What would happen if your home was foreclosed on, you lost your job, your health is deteriorating, and this church is losing members? Would we still gather together on this Thanksgiving Day? Would we still have reason to rejoice and to be thankful for all that God has given? And it's particularly since we live in a world that is so filled with a discontent, with greed and lust, that's good to be reminded for this call to contentment and thanksgiving. And as we draw near to the time of Christmas, where many families and individuals focus on making lists for things that they want instead of being thankful for what they have received. So today we're going to see that contentment reinforces gratitude as it is commanded by God. We'll see these two characteristics coming together in beautiful harmony, thankfulness and contentment. So we're going to look at this theme that Jesus Christ teaches us, thankful contentment. The first step in giving thanks is to acknowledge what God has given to us and to be happy and satisfied in these things. We start with finding two parts. The first part is that we are to count our blessings and to say that what we have received is enough, it is sufficient. The Puritans defined contentment in this way. Contentment is to submit your mind to the Lord and to be thankful for the lot that God has given to you. To submit your mind to the Lord and be thankful for the lot that God has given you. What is contentment? Contentment means to be satisfied with your portion in life and to acknowledge that you have nothing more that you need. To be happy with what you have, which then leads to gratitude. And as a Christian, we read earlier in 1 Timothy chapter 6, contentment is not by itself, it is contentment connected to godliness. We are to see that these blessings that we have received come not to us because of what we deserve, not because of our merit, not because we work hard or we're part of the right family, but because these things are given to us as gifts from the Lord. We are to acknowledge our own undeserving, our own unworthiness, seeing that these blessings come to us from the Lord. But when we think about the blessings we have received, which there are many, I said earlier one of my favorite songs is Counting Your Blessings, Name Them One by One. Earlier the choir led us in singing 10,000 Reasons to Bless the Lord. I'm sure we could all sit around the table this afternoon and have each member identify 1, 2, 3, 10, 100 things that they are thankful for. But when you think of all the blessings that we have received, what is the chief blessing? What is the greatest blessing? As David himself says, the Lord is my shepherd, and since the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When the Lord is the desire of your heart, the Lord gives you the desire of your heart. In order to be content, we have to acknowledge the greatest gift, and the greatest gift is Jesus Christ. And since we belong to God through Jesus Christ, we now as children, adopted children, are brought to see that everything is in the hands of our loving Father. God remains sovereign. He controls and ordains all things. We confess, as the Catechism says, nothing happens by chance. Contentment says nothing happens by chance. Whatever comes to me, whatever happens to me, whatever happens in this world is so firmly in the hands of my loving Father that without His will I can neither move more nor be moved. In fact, the very hairs of my head are numbered. It is the Father who is the fountain source of every good and perfect gift, as James 1 says. So if I have something, the Lord has given it to me, be it good or ill. And I acknowledge that God is sovereign. Therefore, I can trust Him completely. We, like children, learn to content ourselves, to trust, to depend, to rest upon, to rely on our God for everything that we need, confident of the fact that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is ours in Christ Jesus. As Jesus Himself taught in Luke chapter 12, the Father knows what you need, and He will give His children what they need. In fact, the Father knows what is best. So contentment, first and foremost, acknowledges what we have received, sees that they come to us from the hand of a loving Father who is sovereign, and sees that Jesus Christ is the greatest gift, is the principal gift, which moves us from contentment to thanksgiving. But contentment also knows when to stop. Contentment, in order to be content, knows when enough is enough. Proverbs 30 puts it this way, "Give me neither poverty nor riches, but rather feed me with the food that is necessary." Proverbs 23, "Do not toil to acquire wealth, but be discerning enough to desist." As Christians, contentment moves us to be satisfied. To say what the Lord has given to me is enough, and therefore I am not part of the daily rat race. I am not in this job, in this task of trying to acquire the most wealth, to have the most toys. That's not the purpose of life, and that's not what I'm living for. I'm thankful, I'm satisfied, I'm content. An excess of riches are not necessary, and that's not the point of my life, and that's not what I'm pursuing. Because even as Paul says in verse 9, those who are rich are tempted in many different things, are tempted by many different temptations. So contentment acknowledges that God has given to us what we need and is satisfied with what God has given, even as Jesus taught us to pray, give us each day our daily bread. So contentment moves from asking God to give us our daily bread, and when we have our daily bread, we say, Lord, that's enough, that's sufficient, I need not more. You give me bread and water, and therefore I am content, I am satisfied. We long for nothing more than what God has already given to us. Speaking spiritually and physically, we are thankful that God has given to us what we need. In fact, in many ways, the path to contentment is lined with discontentment. Discontentment with the things of this world. Contrary to human logic, the way to attain contentment is to be discontent with whatever we have in this world. To say this another way, acknowledging that the things of this world are temporary, are passing, and transient, that we grow discontent with being satisfied with what's here, and we yearn, we long for that which is to come, that which is of the world to come. Verse 7 in our text says it this way, we took nothing with us when we came into this world, and we'll take nothing with us when we leave this world. Worldly possessions are passing. And therefore, as we grow discontent with the things of this world and we desire, we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, it is then that true godly contentment fills our heart. The fact of the matter is, new iPhones, new cars, new homes, whatever they are, will not be new for long, and they will not provide for our lasting security. Seeing all the pretty things of this world in their proper context opens the door to lasting Christian contentment. So we pray to Christ, Lord, give me the eyes to see that which you have given to me in their proper perspective. When you give me something, Lord, help me to acknowledge that it comes from your hand. And when you provide for my daily needs, help me to be content, satisfied that you have given it to me. And then when I look at these things around me, help me to see that these things are temporary. They are passing. That's not the purpose of my life, and that's not what I am pursuing. I'm discontent with the things of this world because I am so eagerly longing for that which is to come. This is the kind of contentment that we as Christians are pursuing, that we look for in our lives. And in fact, this is something that we need to learn. Philippians 4, Paul said this. This is Philippians 4. I have learned that in whatever situation I am, to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. And in every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. And then Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul, who wrote Philippians 4, also wrote our text in 1 Timothy chapter 6. And he says he has learned to be content. How has he learned to be content? Well, Paul has gone through great highs and lows. He knows what it's like to be hungry. He also knows that he's been satisfied. He knows to have great riches and to great poverty. He knows he's had great health. He's also been very sick. He's been shipwrecked. He's been beaten. He's been cast out. He's been stoned. And all these things, Paul says, I have learned contentment. Well, how do we as Christians learn contentment? Well, contentment comes when we see the things of this world and in their proper place, and as we learn to place our faith, our hope, our trust in Christ, who gives us all things. God has to school us, if you will. He has to teach us, instruct us in this rare grace. Sometimes God teaches us contentment by taking away things that we once held so dear. Sometimes God teaches us contentment by giving us an added measure of grace to see these things in their proper light. When you receive true and lasting riches, the things of this world grow strangely dim when you acknowledge that the greatest gift that God has given to us is the love that we have through Christ. The fact of the matter remains, we live in a very discontent age. In fact, we could say it is the spirit of discontentment that drives consumerism. Today marks the official beginning of the Christmas rush. I know some places have had their Christmas lights up for a few weeks right now, but technically, Thanksgiving marks the beginning of the Christmas hustle and bustle. There's only 27 days left till Christmas. 27 days to get all your shopping in. What's tomorrow called? Tomorrow is called Black Friday because that's when the stores go from the red to the black. They sell so many things on that day that they move their markets, their cash flow moves from the negative to the positive. We live in the world that is characterized by Proverbs 30, the twin leeches of give, give. Always wanting more, always craving more. Our society tells us we need the newest this gadget, the newest this car, the newest this whatever. Less wrinkles, more energy, a better vacation, less trouble. So goes the human heart. Not happy with what we have, always craving more. So the fact that Thanksgiving, which is a day set aside for gratitude, marks the beginning of what is called the Christmas season, it's telling. So let it be true of us all as Christians that we are learning the spirit of contentment which leads to gratitude and thanksgiving. That this spirit of thanksgiving would last well beyond the next 12 hours and would move throughout the month and years to come. Consider this short poem I found this past week, which outlines the human condition. This is a short poem. When I was a child, I wanted to be an adult for respect and freedom. When I was 20, I wanted the financial security of being 30. When I was middle-aged, I wanted the vigor of being 20 again. And when I was retired, I wanted the presence of mind of being middle-aged. And so I died, never getting what I wanted. That's the human heart. Always wanting something which we do not have. It's kind of like that that dog in Aesop's fable. You remember that dog that had that big bone in its mouth and he went to the river's edge and he saw his reflection in the river? And he saw that reflection of a dog that had a bone that he thought was bigger than his. So he opened his mouth and he snapped at that reflection and he lost what he had. To envy is to strive after the wind. Godliness with contentment is a spirit-filled gift that God gives to his people. So may we all, throughout this day and throughout the rest of this month and the years to come, strive to be satisfied. So where does contentment come from? It comes from acknowledging where the gifts come from. It comes from being satisfied because God is sovereign and he gives us what we need. And it comes from yearning for the greatest gift, being discontent with the things of this world because we are yearning for Christ and for his glory. To conclude, the first federal day of Thanksgiving was celebrated in 1789, but became a yearly event in 1863 under Abraham Lincoln. But although our nation has been celebrating this day for a few hundred years, the church has been celebrating Thanksgiving throughout the millennia. As Hebrews 13 verse 5 says, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he said, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this word which reminds us of the need to be content with what we have and to be thankful for the gifts we have received. We, oh Lord, thank you for the blessings that are ours through Jesus Christ. And we do pray that we would move throughout this day, throughout this month, throughout the years to come, to be satisfied with our lot in life that you have given to us, to rest our minds, our souls upon the fact that you are sovereign and that you will provide for our every need. Help us to yearn, O Lord. Help us to desire for the greatest gifts, for the greatest things, the things that last, like faith, hope, and love. We thank you for the greatest gift, which is Jesus Christ and your Spirit. Help those things to be the things that we pursue first. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.